afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Tello. I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us for our Power Up Profits Strategic Selling in a Digital World session. You know, as print service providers look to incorporate technology solutions into their services portfolio, managers are working to create a strategic and value-based approach to selling. I think one of the key challenges to successfully selling solutions that require purchasers to think beyond price is really building out that relationship and that compelling value proposition. What we're going to be doing today is spending some time discussing companies that have done a good job at value-added selling. In addition, we're working, you'll hear from people that have worked to establish long-term relationships with clients and how they're actually selling strategic solutions in their organization. Now, today, I'm delighted to be joined by Tim Cook-Willard, and Tim is the corporate secretary at Lithotone, Inc. And so Tim will be sharing some of the work that he's done as he moved and migrated into the world of digital color. Before we get started, I want to take just a second to give you some tips for enjoying the webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, let us know by using the Ask a Question box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the Help button below. Please make sure that you disable those pop-up blockers. You can get a PDF version of this presentation by clicking the Download Slides button. And if you like what you're seeing and you're hearing, you can tell peers by using the Invite a Colleague button, or you can let us know by clicking the Survey button and sending your feedback. Also, we'll be taking questions throughout the webinar. And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask, use the Ask a Question box, and we'll take them as they come in. And finally, you can view this event on demand for the next 90 days. Now, with that as a backdrop, let me take you through our agenda. I'm going to spend some time really talking about solution selling and what we're seeing in the marketplace. Then Tim's going to share with you how they're getting started on their journey to build out relationships with digital color. We'll make some recommendations and conclusions and then open it for any questions that you might have. When you take a look at the marketplace today, I think what we're seeing is that the dynamics have changed. A printer isn't a printer anymore. Printers really need to change their mindset and think of themselves as cross-media and marketing services providers. You know, if you look at a printer in the traditional sense, it's a manufacturer. And that means that they're engaged in the process of reproducing text and image with ink and paper. But the market's changed. Today's printers, whether you like it or not, have to get into the communications business. And you really need to do that to compete. In this capacity, what you're doing is you're really helping your customers facilitate the process of sharing information. And so I'm going to ask you as we go through the session today to reflect on your current business model and how you can deliver the highest strategic value for your customers tomorrow. Now, I'd like to start with a relatively mundane example, and it links to McDonald's and thinking about what's gone on in the marketplace. If you look back, let's say, 4 or 5 years ago, McDonald's was in the business of making burgers, fries, and shakes. But over time, its customers started to change. As those little kids grew up, they became health conscious, and they wanted salads. Some of us, in addition to demanding lunch on the run, wanted breakfast on the run, and they wanted an egg McMuffin fix. And then people like me had their cholesterol go up, and they needed that grilled chicken sandwich. The big message inside of all this is that companies like McDonald's had to change their business model and had to adapt to the needs of different customers and the same customers in changing market conditions. The benefits to McDonald's for this product diversification were simple. The company retained its current customers, attracted new ones, and sustained profitability. Now, I don't look at any of you like a hamburger franchise, but I do think that's exactly what we're experiencing in our industry. What you're seeing is that your customers are looking at and are deploying different strategies to communicate with their customers. Their appetites for the way that they communicate have changed, and you've got to change the way that you work with them and how you help them with their strategic initiatives to be part of their value chain. One of my favorite books is a book called Jack Straight from the Gut that's written by Jack Welch. And one of the key points that he makes is that you have to change before you have to. And I think that's exactly where we are in the market today. So I want to start by really talking a little bit about exactly what strategic selling is. I will tell you day in and day out, the biggest issue I hear from any print service provider is that the salespeople don't have the right skills or contact levels to sell value-added services. I tell those owners of organizations that before they criticize their sales forces, they need to look in the mirror because they have to have set the strategic direction for the company with the right product and services portfolios against which those salespeople can sell. What I'd like to do is talk initially about how companies distinguish their products, their services, and their organizations in the mind of the customer with good strategic selling. Now, when you ask me what's strategic selling, what I tell everybody is there's really two things you've got to do if you're a strategic sales partner. The first one is a strategic selling organization creates opportunities and they manage opportunities. Making a sale has always involved an element of systematic planning, but strategic selling means more than rehearsing product information and timing the close. Strategic selling really begins with the understanding of your company's strategy, what the vision is you have for your company, the distinctiveness of your offer, and then selecting the right customers to sell that to. The next step, logically, is anticipating each stage of the buying process, from understanding who your competitors are to identifying the influencers and the decision makers and being turned on to the buyer's political issues. In other words, there's a need for a comprehensive strategic profile and a good opportunity assessment. And you may say, well, that's just for big companies. Not anymore. That's for print service providers of all sizes. And basically, strategic selling means strategizing from the customer's point of view. Top achievers really see strategic selling as a routine part of their work and not as a final resort. And so it really means I'm going to go out, I'm going to create opportunities, and with my existing customer base, I'm going to manage them. One of my favorite quotes is from Coco Chanel. Now, the guys that are on the line won't recognize this name, but she was one of the most famous designers out there for women's clothing. And what her key point was is that to be irreplaceable, you must always be different. My view is that printers need to find that irreplaceable value proposition that puts them on the cutting edge. And that means you really need to differentiate yourself from the rest of the market. Now, when I take a look at the market today, what you've got are there are a number of things that were linked to traditional value add. I will tell you that my dad owned a company in Medina, Michigan called Pello Printing. Now, he viewed himself as a craftsman. The value he created was associated with his ability to get output quality to match the expectations of the customer. He placed a lot of value on the ability to do a good job at color matching and making sure he had good label adhesion, ink stability, version control, inventory management, and other points of services. But with today's technology, that isn't enough. The value chain starts when someone has a business problem and a need to communicate business information. And strategic selling starts with the understanding of that business problem and then being that partner that works to help them resolve it. And so that strategic salesperson really needs to position themselves as helping their client as early in the value chain as possible and providing the complexity and sophistication of high technology together with the craft orientation of the printing business. And ultimately, deliver and innovative solutions. In essence, if I'm a good digital service provider, what I want to do is help that marketing executive with market reach, time to market, and ultimately driving their business. And so when you take a look at the market today, and what we're looking at from a service provider perspective, I tell folks the new value add all links to taking care of business. You know, I think we all heard of Gutenberg democratize information with the invention of the printing press. And I would tell you that now with the advent of, you know, telephone and then television and then the Internet and then wireless, we've got a lot of options that are non-print. Despite all those options, however, print has endured. Sometimes it's the fastest and easiest way to convey information. It's bright. It's easy to read. It's portable. It feels good, and you can fold it and tuck it in your pocket. It's a good way for communicating complex information that might need to be absorbed over a longer period of time. And it's also essential for sharing information with the disconnected world. So when people say print is dead, my message to them is, oh, no. Print is an integral and will continue to be an integral part of every communication value chain. I think in most instances, what we're seeing are marketing departments that need help. One of their biggest issues is speed. They're trying to get a new product launch completed or get rid of inventory before it becomes obsolete. Or they're trying to get sales literature out the door for trade shows. In all of these instances, taking care of business can lead to something as simple as quick turnaround. And sometimes those digital providers need to position themselves earlier in the value chain so they can participate in the communication selection process. The value add will occur when the end customer knows that the printer or service provider wants to help them regardless of whether the communication is print or non-print, and that they can handle the entire value chain. Now, when you think about it, how do you get started with all of this? Well, the first thing that I tell everybody is we've got plenty of technology out there. It's how you deploy it. Then, as owners of companies, you've got to make sure that you've got the right product and services approach. You've got to look at your sales approach. One of the biggest things I tell everybody is you've got to look at how you're deploying what I call repetitive print and marketing programs. And you've continually got to be on the lookout for new customers as well as expanding share of existing customers. And you'll hear from Tim how he's getting started, and his focus is really expanding the share of existing customers until he builds out his services portfolio. When you take a look at the market, though, there's plenty of technology out there. And what we've got is a market in transition. People are migrating from an analog to a digital world. Technology is not the issue. It's the effective deployment of that technology. I also tell folks you've got to look not just at the print side of it, and I will tell you digital color print is a double-digit growth market. But what you also need to take a look at are the drivers of that print. The first thing that I tell folks is there are a number of digital business accelerators out there. Think about it for just a minute. The number of global Internet users is going to surpass the 2 billion mark by the time we reach the end of 2010, which is now. SMS, texting, has jumped from $1.8 trillion in 2007 to $6.1 trillion in 2011. And then you've got to look at all the social media components. As of December 2010, Facebook had more than 500 million active users. If they were a country, they'd be the world's third largest. LinkedIn has over 85 million members in 200 countries. Believe it or not, one of you joins LinkedIn every second. And YouTube exceeds 2 billion views a day. Believe it or not, that's nearly double the primetime audience of all major U.S. broadcast networks combined. And Twitter, well, Twitter has over 106 million registered users. They generate 55 million tweets a day. That's 600 tweets in a period that's shorter than me communicating this single sentence. And so as service providers, we've got to figure out how to capture not just the energy of digital color print, but we've really got to figure out how to blend that with all these new forms of media. So it's print, online, social, and mobile. Now, the next thing that we've got to be able to do is look at that technology and do an assessment of how we embody that technology in a broader portfolio of products and services. And I wanted to share with you some examples of what we're seeing from a number of different companies with varying levels of capabilities, skills, and you might say, boy, that doesn't depict me. But there are areas in the value chain where everybody on this webinar can actually fit. And I wanted to give you a couple of great examples that were featured in a number of different times and in a variety of webinars. This happens to be at the high end of the spectrum. It's a company called Direct Advertising Response, or DAR. They were a company that was founded basically 15 years ago, a startup. And what they said is, I'm going to be a marketing agency with production capabilities. They said, my focus, my market, is data-driven marketing. They built out a strategic model and laid out a framework that's still relevant. They look at total campaign management. They become an extension of their current customers' marketing teams. That's that strategic marketing partner component. Today, they do about 40% of their business on data-oriented aspects and another 60% on the production side of the market. Now, when you look at the company, what they say to their customers from a value prop, and by the way, led by senior management, is that what we deliver is accountable marketing and advertising. We'll do program analysis, we'll provide strategic marketing services, we do response and report creation and analysis on the effectiveness of a campaign, and we work with you to help data drive your marketing initiatives. So pretty powerful positioning in the marketplace. They've also done a great job relative to how they do their advertising. And what they've developed is the three I's at working with DAR. And basically what they say is, hey, we'll work with you to identify the best customers, new market expansions, and existing market intelligence. We'll help you improve by leveraging the right media services, providing ongoing and accurate ROI analysis, and statistically valid approaches to marketing. And then at the end of all that, we'll increase your brand awareness, customer acquisition and retention, and we're going to provide you with a state-of-the-art database. Now, that's all great, but how do they do it? Well, what they've done is they've really built out a solid strategic selling process. Keep in mind, they're doing that against the framework of a very solid business plan. But what they've learned is before they make a customer call, that sales rep researches the prospect. They go to every widely available resource on the internet to understand what that client's teams are, what their business model is. And by the way, there are myriads of information sources on any customer. I can go to Hoover's. I can surf the web. I can look at the local Chamber of Commerce directory. Then what they do is they work to educate customers on the services that DAR provides. They confirm the client by doing a good needs assessment and the fact that they're, hey, a really solid prospect. And then what they do is, well, they've got a standard set of building blocks. They make sure they build out a proposal that's tailored to that specific client. They sell, and then they work to expand share of customer from there. So they've done a good job at research, developing the sale, and then ultimately closing it, and then expanding that sale. And when you take a look at the company, what they've done is they've said, here's the value we deliver. We'll help you with brand equity. You can create a value-added partnership with DAR for marketing support. We'll generate production savings and ROI. We'll make you, or provide you with actionable marketing data, and we'll, in essence, provide even the commodity-oriented nuts and bolts services. So, again, a pretty powerful value proposition. Now, the next example is a company called Nordis. And Nordis is a provider of information-driven marketing as well. Again, at the higher end of the spectrum. They've been in business over 20 years, and they are basically a very trusted source to the Fortune 500. When you take a look at the services that they offer to their customer base, it's a pretty broad list. My bet is that several of you on the line have a list that's very, very similar to this, from high-speed laser imaging to actually postal discount optimization. But what they've done is they've really built out a set of web-based services, a cross-media platform, to power their offering. It's basically what I'll categorize as web-to-print on steroids. And what they've done is they've built out a streamlined process so that their clients can manage personalized mail and email communications. They make it easy to create, change, approve, produce, and track personalized letters, statements, and invoices. And basically what they've got is a tool set that lets their end customers dynamically tailor communications to the individual customer. So, again, a high level of stickiness. And the way that they go to market with their customers is a strong communications around return on investment. Now, the next example is a company called Franklin. And a lot of you may fit this model. Well, what Franklin did is they're a 90-year-old commercial printer. What they started out doing is partnering with somebody who was really a data-driven direct mail house. And they're reinventing themselves in terms of their go-to-market processes. And what Franklin did is Franklin actually, when you look at them 75 years ago, was a very traditional printer. And then in the last 15 years, they started focusing on direct mail through an acquisition. And so they really started transforming their business and saying, what I want is to participate in the more lucrative marketing value stream, and so what I'm going to do is focus and reinvigorate my business based on products that are powered by data. And today, basically what they've done is they've done that with their customer base. They also have looked at who they're selling to because they want the kind of customers that want a data-driven approach to market growth. If you look at the major milestones, they were founded in 1922. And today what they've done is they've rebranded themselves from Franklin Press to Franklin. And basically what they've done is said that they're the provider of data empowered by direct mail. They truly are not a printer anymore. They serve a number of target markets, which really link to what I'll categorize as more data-driven market segments, and look at and build out solutions to ensure that they're meeting those customers' requirements. So they're offering direct mail. They automate campaigns. They provide data management, including hygiene, security. They've got a full-time programming department. They do program management, and they do commercial printing. So, again, pretty powerful in terms of a go-to-market perspective. I would tell you that they would also share with you that they believe in their mantra. Their existing customers accept the fact that that's who they are and what they do. They are still challenged with repositioning the business for those companies that haven't historically done business with Franklin. And I wanted to give you one last example that's a little different in terms of approach. But before I did this, share some a critical data point. A lot of you that are online right now, your primary customer base is, in fact, the small and medium business market segment. Infotrends recently did a study, and we actually went out and we surveyed 2,243 small businesses. And what we did is we asked them about the providers they used and what their preferences were. Believe it or not, the majority of small and medium businesses would like to have one-stop shopping. And what that means is their preference would be to work with you and actually buy everything from you as their provider. Now, we're starting to see a lot of traction, and you don't need to be an enormous data-driven printing house to get started on this path. I think one of my favorite examples was some work that was being done by Minuteman Press. And I just wanted to share with you their website. And if you look at the three images, what you'll see is they communicate that they do, by the way, full color as well as offset printing. They'll provide variable data, and they'll do CD-ROM duplication, and they also do finishing, laminating, a number of those kinds of things. Now, when I sit down with that small and medium business person, that ability to be a one-stop shop service provider has a lot of merit. In some instances, they're not ready for the full plethora of multi-channel communications, but they do want to buy as much as they can buy from a single supplier because, quite honestly, they don't have the time nor the energy to go out and source from multiple providers. Now, the next thing I will tell you is this takes a different sales approach. And I will tell you that one of the things that I tell service providers all the time is that your mission number one is to decommoditize print. And I tell everybody that no product has to be a commodity. The trick is to know what services your customers want and charge more. Now, we've all been to a bar. And I will tell you that when you walk into a bar, people will sit down on a regular basis and say, I want Absolut Vodka. Now, I'm not sure that Absolut Vodka doesn't come out of the same vat as Smirnoff. But what Absolut has done is convinced you that their vodka is better than anybody else's vodka, and hence you should order and ask for that specific brand. I look at Blue Jeans. I'm not sure that my granddaughter's Guess Blue Jeans aren't the same as the Levi brand. But guess what? Guess has figured out how to reposition its product and charge more. Now, what that means is that you've got to be selling at the right level inside of your organization. You cannot be selling at the transactional level or the print or procurement level to communicate and define your value proposition. You've got to recognize that there are different levels in the organization and different approaches to each level. At the C level, what their interest is in the business impact and the ability to enhance their marketing opportunity. That core level manager is looking for support to get his job done. It's that reduced cycle time, more flexibility. And by the way, when I'm dealing with the purchasing agent and the procurement, their thrust is typically price. Now, what you need to be able to do is you've really got to sit down and figure out quickly what the pain points are for those executives at different levels. What I tell folks is you got to have big ears. Everyone knows that you have to ask the right questions, but you really have to be tuned in and listening to your customers' responses. And you've got to then, as you listen to those pain points, translate the services portfolio you have into something that your customer clearly acknowledges as solving a specific business problem. What I call this, and what I look for, and I think what we all look for in people that are selling to us, is something I call business acumen. And it's probably the most important element in excelling in your business. And what it means is that you've studied the customer's business and the industry well enough and the market dynamics around it that you have the ability, when they talk about unique needs, to comprehend those and then translate what you have as your service portfolio into a solution that can solve their problems. If you're a service provider out there and a sales rep came to call on you and knew nothing about your business, the propensity for you to buy from him would be very limited. So you have to arm your salespeople with enough good industry information and data about the customers that they're calling on such that they can be effective and have that kind of business acumen that you'd expect from a sales rep calling on you to talk about the printing business. And so what digital service providers need to realize is that you've got to become part of that value chain as early as possible in the cycle. You want to become engaged in the campaign design versus waiting for a request for quotation. And that says that I've got to be interfacing with that C-level executive. You want to become viewed as a consultant and a business partner, somebody that they'll say, hey, I'd like your opinion on this. And you've got to create market opportunity versus responding to a customer's suggestion. And that means you really need to lead the solution. Now, the other thing is nobody on the line can afford to recreate solutions each time they're doing something. You want to look for those opportunities where once you've made an investment in technology, you've got repetitive print and marketing programs. And so you want to look for those types of applications that let you consistently leverage the technology investment you've made, whether it's a marketing program, whether it's technical documentation, benefit booklets, directories. You want to look at and figure out what you can do. You would like to make sure that you open yourself to as many customers as possible. And what that means is you want to be able to have web-based services so that your shop is easy to access. And last but not least, what you want to do is build out those applications that instill very, very strong customer loyalty. And so what I tell everybody is you've got to look at how you move up this value chain. Typically where service providers start today is they'll invest in digital color technology. And what they've got is a number of traditional offset jobs that they can do much more affordably on a digital press with much better turnaround. The next critical element is I tell people to look at how they web-enable their businesses. Why? Because what you can do then is you can become an integral part of the overall supply chain management function for a company. And that means that you're helping them in terms of doing a better job at reducing their overall inventory, managing the inventory, reducing obsolescence costs, and it's got a compelling value proposition. The next thing that we see are people that start implementing what I'll categorize as customized internet on-demand services. And it may be as simple as print shop mail, where you're providing the customer the ability to do on-demand postcards all the way through to some more complex tool sets like XMPI or PageFlex. And then the last bucket is really what I categorize or look at as fully customized communications. And that's where you're really sitting down saying, I'm going to help you work and deliver a message consistently and cohesively across all channels, and I'm going to make sure that I can be ultimately your cross-media services provider. I will tell you that you can go in at any point on this value chain, and you should be able to move up and down that value chain so that you're capturing an optimal share of the customer's business. And last but not least, what you want to look at is how do I expand share of existing customer, and how do I find new customers? What you've got to look at is I want to be that full service provider. I want to be that one-stop shopping provider. I want to make sure that I've optimized my share of customer by having the right technologies in place. And then, oh, by the way, what I'd like to be able to do is increase that customer stickiness and loyalty by really driving through web-based service offerings with my client base. That means that you're storing their data, their print jobs, and you're giving them access to that portal, and that really does make for a sticky customer. Because when you've done that, they've invested as much in you as a provider as you have in them a customer. So I'm going to leave you with one before I turn it over to Tim, one of my favorite quotes, and it's from Peter Drucker. And Drucker says, you know, value in a product or service is not what the supplier puts in. It's what the customer gets out and is willing to pay for. A product is not quality because it's hard to make and it costs a lot of money, which is what manufacturers typically believe. That's incompetence. Customers pay only for what is of use to them and gives them value. What you'll find is you can redefine that value proposition and then sell strategically into that customer, and it doesn't need to be the most complex set of jobs, but it does need to be articulated in terms that have strategic value. And now what I'm going to do is I am going to turn it over to Kim. And as I indicated, Kim is the corporate secretary of Lithotone, Inc. And Kim's getting started down this journey. And I think he's got an interesting perspective on both how to get started and where he's going. And with that, Kim, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Barb. I appreciate the time and all the information on the front end. And hopefully I can kind of give a perspective to the group. And I'm certain there are going to be many people out there that are going to fall into this classification. A lot of times I think us old school printers kind of have a tendency to sit in the back of the room and really not be called on. This transition's been, I think, fairly difficult for many of us just because of what we're accustomed to. And Lithotone pretty much has had that same challenge, I think. And we can talk paradigm shifts and corporate identities and everything into that point, but it really does take some guts to make that transition. Lithotone historically is a commercial printer, started in 1962, right in the middle of the RV capital of the world, which is a little bit quiet right this moment. So some of this transition has kind of moved us into a different direction economically. But the cool thing about us is we were started, you know, back in the 60s, family-owned, employee-owned from the very beginning, and all of our folks had a share in the company. And for us, that gave us some significant stability over the, you know, last 50 years and put us in an interesting position to niche ourselves in our local markets. We weren't very, we weren't really successful selling across the country, but over the past 10 years, we've done a pretty good job of expanding our markets, mostly in commercial, SheFed, and web. Digital for us for the past 7 years has been a successful journey at times and pretty frustrating at other times. We recently are running Konica Minolta equipment. We've had different equipment over this past 7 years, and sometimes good and sometimes not, but we've seen a pretty huge shift in the quality of color. Most folks out there, I would imagine, whether you're a SheFed shop or a web shop, have seen webs go from what they were 30 years ago to what they are today. They've made a huge journey and closed the gap on web to SheFed quality. And I think the digital market has done the same thing. I think 5 years ago it was good, but as craftsmen who've been in the trade for a long time, I think they looked at that and went, it's just not good enough. We certainly had the same challenges. I think we looked at it critically, sometimes too critically actually, because the market, there were items in the market that they wanted, and yet as craftsmen it wasn't good enough. But our client base was saying it's exactly what we need, and it's just fine. So that's kind of a weird dichotomy that we had to face on the inside. For us, a couple of the unique industries were us. Obviously, the RV industry is where we're located. But we were kind of specific. We've got a lot of local colleges here in the Midwest, and we've maneuvered through handling longer SheFed and web runs for them. And the digital side of it with variable data, the onset of variable data, and the quality improvements on the digital side have been a perfect fit for those organizations. Churches and ministries have a similar reality. Budgets sometimes are pretty tight on that end, but we found a pretty good balance there, Barb. Ultimately, we had to make the decision, I think, when the quality was good enough that we felt comfortable selling to our existing client base. I would call us, we're a conservative company, and I think it was a difficult transition and still has been going digital. But in the last year, we've seen significant improvements in the quality. Therefore, we've immediately migrated to our current customer base. And for us, that's helped kind of augment the relationships that we've had. And it's always easy to learn on an existing relationship where you've got trust, and there's already a relationship that's built and is solid. It can weather some of the storms. But that's where we've been. With speed, with regard to speed,
can I have a quick question for you? We talk a little bit about the quality aspect of it. How hard was it to convince the salespeople the quality was good enough? And And the net of it is, how hard was it to convince the customers to change some of their work from traditional offset to digital?
I think from a sales standpoint, there's a challenge there because every salesperson really puts their name on the product that they deliver. And there's a company behind them. But as a salesperson in a true relationship, it's my name that goes on the piece that I deliver. I think so. That's probably the biggest battle, Barb. That makes sense. Really wanting to go out there and feel confident that the product you're delivering is exactly what the customer wants and that you're proud of that product.
Now, Have you had any pushback, Tim, from a customer?
With regards to digital versus conventional?
Yeah, and I'll say in the last year.
I think to be truthful, yep, absolutely.
Okay.
There's still some products that maybe are difficult to manage, maybe not from a print imaging standpoint, but certainly from a bindery finishing fulfillment standpoint.
Got it.
We're still working on paper, and we're still trying to make paper do things it doesn't want to do. It's been that way for the printers forever, and it's going to be that way in the digital world. But in general, when it comes to, the shorter runs, we introduced our webs in the early 80s when run lengths were getting longer and longer. We have half webs, by the way. And then we also saw, the pinnacle of the web market, and then we watched it come back towards the sheet-fed market when run lengths, were reducing. And one item for us is we've always been a printer's printer. Most of the group out there probably knows folks like that, companies that have that other printers could trust to bring their work to.
Mm-hmm.
But we've migrated, so back to the sheet-fed short-run market, and we were successful in that market. We have Hadeberg equipment, both on the sheet-fed and the website, and we've continually invested in direct-to-plate, upgraded our bindery. So we've got a lot of those items that put us in a position to be fast and the digital market, so it fit right in with us for us to go that direction. And I think now that the quality levels are there and the paper requirements are down, historically, we weren't really comfortable in the very beginning when we had to buy substrates that were specific for digital. It was it's always a challenge to inventory for a big shop, let alone inventory and all the products available on a special digital side run. And now we like the opportunity to be able to blend them both. I hope I answered your question there.
Yeah, you did. Perfect. And, Tim, I have one other question that came in from the audience. What's your typical break-even? Or where would you sit down and if I took time out of it, what's the average run length type job you put on your digital press?
I think probably the high end for us, again, depending on the product. I mean, if we keep it simple, 8.5 by 11, 4 by 4s, I think – with our shop, we can be competitive down into the 1,000 range, even on a 40-inch sheet fed.
Yeah.
Again, with quicker make readies and reduced playmaking time and aluminum costs that, we're down, I think we could be competitive in that range. And anything below that has been pretty successful on the digital side.
Great. Thanks, Tim.
That can vary, though, by product. Really depends. I mean, that's kind of a loaded question because in its simplest term, that's it, 8.5 by 11, but it's not an 8.5 by 11 world per se anymore. I mean, we've got plenty of it.
Yep, gotcha. Thanks, Tim.
And we've always we probably challenge our digital group because most of our digital work comes out of our pre-press department. I mean, they're wired for that mentally. We've got a younger group out in the press room. We've got a pretty young group in our pre-press department, and it's kind of fun to see that interaction between imagine being in the press room and watching the digital era continue to take off and blossom.
Yep.
And, most of us are competitive spirits anyway. So as you watch that continue to grow, your first thought is what's going to happen to my job? And
yep.
I think it's kind of spurred an interesting competitive spirit within our group. And, again, being employee-owned, they're motivated to be better.
Yep, gotcha.
Couple last things that I have for us is it has been a difficult transition to figure out how to sell it and being comfortable with it. We know how to sell bindery services. We know how to sell the press room. We've added on mail inkjet addressing, variable data, and we've also added on fulfillment. Over the past 5 years, we've changed. But I think the biggest struggle that we see, and we're getting on top of it now, I think, within the last 12 to 18 months with some real new partnerships on the digital side, is that we're comfortable bringing solutions to our customers, whether it's a digital end or a full rollout, and we'll listen. We'll sit down with them, and we'll listen. And I heard you mention it a little bit earlier, talked about it. I think I don't use the word selling very often because, to me, selling means I'm not listening, but that's just a personal thing for me. It's imperative to sit down and understand the organization, and so many folks want to go out and just sell, check the box, move it on, get the commission to be done. And for me, being a production shop and coming through the production arena, that's not satisfying to me. I'd much rather sit in a room, listen to the customers, discuss what their needs are, and then try to come up with a solution that'll fit, whether it's digital or whether it's fulfillment.
Yep, gotcha.
To me, that's fun.
Now, Tim, one other question. When we talk strategy, so your approach thus far has been, I'm going after my base, and then I'll build out from there. And you feel like that's working for you?
Absolutely. I think it's working, because it gives us an opportunity to step into a new arena that we're somewhat unfamiliar with and do it within trusted relationships. Everybody here has blown a job and had to reprint a job. It's difficult to start off in that arena with a brand new relationship because there is some ebb and flow and there's some give and take. And starting off in that has given us a little bit safer place, you know, to learn and develop. And our customers are more open to it, and you communicate through those issues, and I think it teaches you then how to go out and develop new sales with new customers. The flip side of that is that while we started that, the digital side within our existing base, when you learn that, then you can go out and actually start on business that typical printers would shy away from, the smaller runs, the small print shop stuff, and use that as an entree to actually get in the room so you can have those conversations. It's nice. I mean, you do the jobs that you historically just you wouldn't even look at. That's pretty cool.
It's good. And so, Tim, I'm going to let you wrap up. I know you've got one last slide here on recommendations, and I'd be interested in your perspective. For the folks that are on the line that are in your shoes, very traditional offset, where do you go from here?
Take the first step. Buy a piece of equipment. Be smart about it. Be invested. Don't be afraid of it. And when you look, I think the biggest conflict is if you can get over the hump between the big iron and you walk out in the shop and you see your presses, the sheet feds, the folders, the cutters, and you know what those will do, sometimes it's difficult to kind of put that thinking on hold. It still is the bread and butter, and if you've got overhead to cover, you're going to have to continue to run that equipment. But you got to think about how you're going to augment into the digital side with your current base and then grow it from there. So you've got to make that first step.
Now, just a quick question, Tim. Where do you've got the digital side going, you're growing your share of with your existing customers. What do you think the next major step is that you're going to take?
One plus one is two and two plus two is four. I think we've got to continue to grow this so we can be a little more productive.
Yep.
And then get more comfortable with the technology. And then once we do that on the imaging side, then our hope is going to more multimedias, find blends for those products, audio, video. Most folks have seen flipbooks these days. I think you touched upon the print. I don't think print is dead by any means. It's tactile. It'll always be tactile. But if you think you're just going to make it on the print side without folding in any other medias, it's just not. You're just going to die. It'll just be done. Matter of fact, it probably won't be any fun because you're going to watch it just wither away.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. Well, thanks a bunch, Tim. I do have a couple of other questions that came in, and please key in your questions, and we'll monitor them for the next few minutes. One of the questions that came in, and I mentioned Franklin's, was what do you do to reposition your business? And, you know, that's a very, very interesting question. I've seen a number, when they've made the transition to more of a marketing services cross-media provider, how did it change customer perception? The answer is it's not easier. Everybody would have done it. Alternatively, I will tell you that what you need to do is start looking at how you go to market. What I find is that the successful providers that have made that transformation in the eyes not just of their own organization but of their customers have actually changed the way that they market and who they talk to. As opposed to, and I say this in a nice way, but as opposed to going to the PIA meeting, Printing Industry of America meeting, what they're doing is they're going to the American Marketing Association meeting because they've changed their mindset and they want to communicate and talk to marketers. You know, they're active in the DMA. They're active in the local ad club. And the more active they get in environments that are part of the target market they want to be in, the more successful they become. And I really think you have to, when you change that mindset to get into cross-media, you also have to change some of the people that you talk to day in and day out. And that's a big transformation, but it's a very, very important one. Well, I'm going to wrap up with just a couple of final comments here. And I think what you've got to look at, and I think you're hearing this from Tim as well as a number of the examples that we discussed, is it says I've got to make the jump into new technologies. I've got to take a look at new products and services, new sales approaches. I need to look at how I can get engaged in the Internet and start generating repetitive print programs and how I get new customers and expand my share of existing customers. It really says I've got to go out and identify those right markets and customers. I've got to, and I think Tim reiterated this, I've got to listen to them and understand their needs. I've got to build the right digital infrastructure. And I think you have to remember that higher revenue growth equates to helping your customers improve their business with value-added applications and services. Now, I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite set of quotes, and it looks at value proposition. You know, basically the message is, you know, don't sell me a book, but do sell me knowledge. Don't sell me insurance, but you're going to provide me with a value of peace of mind. Don't sell me a house, but rather comfort and pride of ownership. Don't sell me clothes, but sell me style, attractiveness, and a sharp image. And don't sell me a computer. Sell me the time I'm going to save. My message to all of you today, if you take something away from this webinar, is don't go out and sell print jobs anymore. Go out and sell improved time to market, increased market awareness, and the ability to help your customers accelerate their businesses. Now, I've got one other quick question from the audience that I'll address, and this is kind of an interesting one, and it says, you know, what's to stop our printing customers from buying the same equipment as others are buying, or as the offset print shops are buying? I'm going to tell you kind of an interesting scenario. What we've seen over the course of the last 8 to 10 months, especially in the face of the recession, is an increase in outsourcing. And it's because people are focusing on their core competencies, and they really don't want to do things that are non-core to their business. And so what we're finding is that people want to do and deal with their fundamental core business operations, do what they do best, and let you do what you do best. In a time when capital for everybody is constrained, they would prefer, and especially when we talk to that mid-tier business side of it, to work with an external provider, preferably somebody that can do it all for them. Now, the other question that somebody provided is, can I provide my views on the most successful traditional printers that have made the transition to cross-media services? You know, I can give you names of a number of different companies, and that are out there that have done a fabulous job at making the transformation. And I'll give a couple of just names of companies that have really changed their business models. I happened to have a chance to do a webinar a couple weeks ago with Dave Zaborski, who is a traditional printer. They changed their name from Associates Graphics to AI. There was a company that was a pre-press company out of Chicago called 2Ks. They are now a full multimedia company. Those are the kinds of things we're seeing, and they're making that transition. What do they do that's different? Basically, they get started. And just like everybody else, they started by making an investment in some digital technology. They looked at and listened to their customers and said, what do my customers need? And built out a portfolio to meet those needs. And they're continuing to listen to their customers to evolve their services. And then when you talk about strategic selling, the reps that they hire have business acumen and can communicate and understand their customers' business problems. Now, with that, I would like to take the time to thank everybody for their time and attention today. We really appreciate you joining us, and I wish you all a great rest of the day. Thanks very much. Have a great day.